السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters listening over the receivers, and today all those listening over the radio station. This is a subject which I discuss many times, especially when some nikah took place in this masjid on a Jumu'ah day. But that does not mean that subject was only for the people that were parties to that nikah, and it should only be for the benefit of those people who are getting married on that occasion in the masjid. Therefore, today, there being a larger audience, there are some pertinent and important matters which have to be discussed. Of course, the time is extremely limited to go into any detailed discussion. But the five things that I mentioned in that bayan on that occasion of nikah was a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam commands, directs, advises that we should hasten five things. In five things we should not delay. We should be quick, we should hasten, we should be speedy. That's what it means. The first thing he said is that as-salat qabla al-fawt, that your prayers, your salat, before it expires, the time expires, you should make your salat. Now this is something that is taken very lightly. Of course, it does not mean that as soon as the time sets in, the person has to make the salat. We have time of asr. From this time to that time is asr, from this time to that time is isha, from this time to that time is fajr. So within a reasonable period of time, after this time of that salat has set in, the person must make the salat. He must not delay it until finally it is completely out of time, or the person has made qaza of that salat. Especially with our women folk, they're cooking, they're baking, and all their other household chores, it makes sometime their namaz as qaza. The business people, their businesses. The people in sporting activities, their sporting activities. The people in walimas and weddings, then their occupation, and their eating and their drinking and their discussions and their chit-chat, all that causes them to many a times forego the salat altogether, even those people who are five-time namazis. There was not a single time in the life of any companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that namaz was maaf. Namaz was not forgiven and overlooked even for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders him, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself is told that he must give the hukam and command of salat to his family, and he too must stay steadfast. Now that was the coolness of the eyes of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Salat was the coolness of his eyes. There was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ever missing salat. Any kind of difficulty and hardship, the first thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam hastened towards was salat. If the wind blew a little strongly, it was salat. If it was eclipse of the moon, it was salat. Eclipse of the sun, it was salat. If there was some danger around, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went into salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught the ummah that to draw from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's treasures, Allah ta'ala's help, Allah ta'ala's madad and nusrat, then we have to make amal on that ayat of the Quran Sharif, wasta'inu bis sabri was salah. Seek the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with patience, perseverance and with salat. Now again, it does not mean that they did not make use of the means. We are in a world of means and we will have to make use of the means. But this is also a means and a very powerful mean of drawing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help and assistance, that the person should not forgo his salat, he should hasten towards salat. Look at the number of different salats that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made in his life, which were not even farz, it was not wajib, it was not compulsory, because of that love that he had, and he knew that that was the miraj. One was the miraj that he went up, and the miraj for the believers is that they get into salat, get into sajda. So if we have to discuss that first part, then we can go on and on. But the important thing is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that that is the dividing line. That there is no share for a person in deen if the person does not have salat in his life. Now we want a solution to problems, we try everything else, but we don't look at the very first thing, whether it is in our lives or not. And if it is there, then what kind of salat is in our lives? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that the first thing that will leave the ummah will be khushu in salat. That there will be a whole congregation of people making namaz and there will be no khushu in it. No sincerity, no devotion, no dedication. Sometimes the masjids may say chock-a-block, indeed it may be chock-a-block. But the thing is, how many people in that salat even remember which surah they read in that salat? So salat is the dividing line between kufr and Islam. The dividing line is that salat. Look at all the virtues of performance of salat, and look at the warnings that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself mentioned about the non-performance of salat. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that ajjalu bis salat qabla al-fawt. Hasten in your salat before the time expires for that salat. Salat is not forgiven at any time. Person cannot stand and read, sit and read, cannot sit and read, lie down and read. He's on safar and he has traveled the distance of safar, the masail of safar are applicable to him. Then even that namaz is shortened, that make two rakat namaz, but make the namaz. So salat is the most important thing in a person's life, and that is what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala also said, that to me the most important thing in your life is your salat. And the person who is going to be negligent and deficient in his salat, then he will be deficient in all other things of his life too. If there is a weakness in the person's trading and dealing, the person is not honest, the person is not truthful, the person is a cheat, the person is a liar, then there is a deficiency in his salat. If the person is going to the gambling den, he's going to the discos, the cinemas, the theaters, the rave clubs, then there's a deficiency in his salat. If the person is abusing his wife, his children, then there is a deficiency in his salat. In whichever department of a person's life you find weakness and deficiency, it is because of the deficiency in his salat. If he had made that salat as that salat should have been made, conscious awareness that I'm standing before my Allah, and this is how on the day of judgment also I will stand and answer for all my doings, and Allah is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing, and therefore I have to make my salat in the manner shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In salat, if we are told to face the qibla, then nobody faces in the other direction. Will anybody now have the courage to face in another direction? He says, because my prospering business is in the other direction, or because my mother-in-law stays that side, so now therefore let me make salat that side, or my wife's home is in that direction. No matter who the beloved is, but the person will make namaz in the direction of the qibla. So just as we have one qibla for our namaz, we have a qibla for our deen. And the qibla for our deen is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow him. So whatever he is going to say, we are going to do and follow. So in namaz, we are following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We raise our hands, we tie our hands, we go into ruku. Now he can be the most pious person, most learned person, and the greatest wali of the time, but we haven't heard anyone reciting Surah Baqarah in ruku. In ruku, nobody goes and recites Surah Baqarah. Yet it is Quran Sharif, and you can recite, you should have got more sawab. But everybody goes into ruku and says, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. or one of the tasbih that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited. So just as we are following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in salat, we are following the teaching of the Quran and Sunnah in salat, that's how our whole life must be outside salat. So that is the first thing. The second thing he said, حَجَّلُوا بِالتَّوْبَةِ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ. Now this is that important thing, that we are so negligent with tawbah. We take it for granted that another 100 years of life has been written and recorded for us. Other people can be passing away. Every day we will read on the notice board who passed away, when is the janaza, when is the burial, and we'll pass one or two words of comment and finish. That's the end of it. We will go to the graveyard, but it is not going to remind us of our death.
Yehe ek qabr pe bekasi, bazubane haal hai keh rahi. Yehe ek qabr pe bekasi, bazubane haal hai keh rahi. Tumhe aankhe chahiye ghafilo, mujhe ehtiyaj bayan nahi.
Says, go to the grave and look at the silence. Listen to the silence of the grave. Not a word from the grave. The person was an orator. He was a statesman. He was a president of a country that everybody was glued to the radios and they were watching on TV. What is he going to say now with regards to Iraq and with regards to Iran and with regards to this and with regards to that? Everybody was waiting for his words. Where are those words gone now? Where is that speech gone? Look at the silence in the grave. Yehe qabr pe bekasi. Look at the helplessness of the person that is now in the grave. Of course, the pious ones, the righteous ones, from outside it seems as if they are helpless, but they're not helpless. Allah Ta'ala has the doors of Jannat open for them, and they are told sleep now, like the new bride sleeps. But we are talking about those who disbelieved, those who rejected, those who did not make amal. They neglected their salat, their zakat, their fasting. They were abusive. They violated the rights of people. They were liars, they were cheats. So now they will find themselves completely helpless. Nobody to come to their assistance. So he says, yeh qabr pe bekasi, wa zuban haal hai keh rahi. He's not giving any speech in words that you can listen to that speech. But the silence of the grave itself is a very, very powerful speech for all of us. Very powerful speech. That, oh man, how long are you going to run around? How long are you going to walk the path of sins? How long are you going to walk like a munafiq and a hypocrite on the surface of this earth? How long are you going to remain disobedient to that Allah who is all powerful, almighty, all hearing, all seeing, all knowing? He in whose hands your life lies. He who has blessed you with your sight, with your intelligence, with your hearing and every other faculty. How long are you going to disobey him? And how long are you going to be rebellious? It is addressing us that how long are we going to do that? That the time is going to come when there will be a departure from this world. I've always said, go to the airports and you will find boards there. Arrival board, departure board. Railway station, arrival board, departure boards. Everywhere there's arrivals and departures. So on our boards also in the masjids and other announcement, they're talking about somebody's departure and somebody has arrived in this world. So therefore he says, قبر پہ بے کسی بزبان حال ہے کہہ رہی تمہیں آنکھیں چاہیے غافلو مجھے احتیاج بیان نہیں. I don't have to give you a speech. You need eyes to see that where are all those statements of mine gone, and where is all that pomp and glory and show of mine, and where is all that force and power of mine, and where is all that military might of mine, and where is all that power which I used to brag about that I'm a superpower? Where is all that today? So we take lessons from that. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person must make tawbah qabl al-maut. That don't wait, because once death comes there's no question of making tawbah at that time. Tawbah, sincere repentance, must be long, long before death. And nobody knows when death will come. In our times it's nothing but hijackings, murders, killings, bomb blasts, tsunamis, earthquakes, floodwaters, gale force winds. These are the things of the day. If it's not in our country, it's a neighboring country. If it's not neighboring country, it is some other country in the world. But somewhere or the other, that is the only thing that we are hearing of. We call it natural disasters, natural disasters. There is no such thing as natural disasters. Yes, the things that Allah Ta'ala has created, which we call natural, Allah Ta'ala will use that for the shake-up. The earth will be used for the shake-up. But it is Allah Ta'ala's hukam that causes the earth to shake. Then science can tell us how it shook and what happens and what was it on the Richter scale. All that they can tell us. But how many a times they tell us first time again after 100 years. And first time after 200 years, this disaster took place. A disaster of this magnitude never took place in centuries. Why didn't it take place in centuries? Tumhe aankhe chahiye ghafilo mujhe ehtiyaj bayan nahi. So therefore he says this, Tawbah, do not delay it. Allah Ta'ala loves those who repent, who seek forgiveness for their sins. We must get sins out of our lives. If we are going to enjoy sins, then we must forget about happiness, peace, tranquility, sukoon. There will be nothing but quarrels and fights and disputes and arguments, because Allah Ta'ala will divide the hearts. Allah Ta'ala will put disunity into the hearts. The husband will hate the wife will hate the husband, the children will hate the parents, the family members will hate each other. That is what is going to happen. Once the person becomes rebellious against Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he must be prepared for rebellion from others too. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he is the one who puts happiness into hearts, and he is the one who puts hatred into hearts. Sometimes that hatred is, as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself mentioned in the Quran Sharif, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا. So sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts that enmity against his own prophets, against his own messengers, against the awliya-i siddiqeen, against the pious and the righteous people, against the ulama-i haq, against those who are righteous. Now that enmity that comes into the heart, that is for the elevation of the stages of the person who is pious and righteous. It is to the detriment of the person who is hating. It is to the detriment of the person who is creating problem for that wali of Allah Ta'ala. He is going to suffer the consequences. But as far as that wali is concerned, that nabi is concerned, that sahabi is concerned, his status is elevated. Because we can only recognize the value of a thing with an opposite. If there was no such thing as darkness, we would have never appreciated light. If there was no darkness, would anybody have appreciated light? In the same way, if there was no weakness, the person would not have appreciated strength. If there was no blindness, the person wouldn't have appreciated sight. If there was no deafness, he wouldn't have appreciated the hearing. And when a person looks at someone who is dumb and he is struggling to speak, or the person is stuttering, so then at that time the person appreciates and he says, "Oh Allah, how grateful I should be to you that you have blessed me with so much of ni'mats." So it's opposite. So when there's falsehood, that's the time we appreciate truthfulness. If there was no kufr, no shirk, then we would not have appreciated this great gift of Iman. But Allah Ta'ala does not force anybody to reject belief in Him. Allah Ta'ala does not force anybody to go in the line of kufr or shirk. Allah Ta'ala has made it clear, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Everything is clear before us. We know that this is right and this is wrong. We know that this is truth, this is falsehood. The Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam outlined it clearly for us. And Allah Ta'ala then gave us a willpower. Now make use of this willpower and go in the direction of Jannat, go in the direction of Allah Ta'ala. So if the person does not do that, he is to be blamed for his actions and deeds. He can't put the blame on Allah Ta'ala. Nevertheless, so that was the second thing said, that make sincere tawbah before death, before the garment of kafan is put above our bodies. Let us put the garment of taqwa above our hearts. And before the water of mayyat is poured above our bodies, when we will not be able to turn, we will not be able to talk, we will not be able to see and speak, when they will move us backwards and forwards, when they will slice the clothes also, if they are tight-fitting, designer-label clothes, even that will be sliced and cut and removed from our bodies. Nothing will be left on us. So before that time comes that the water of mayyat is poured above our bodies, let us pour the water of tawbah above our hearts. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that when the janazah is ready, then don't delay the burial of the person. Giving an explanation that if a person, he has all the formalities have been met, the grave has been dug, the papers are all signed, and there is no need for any kind of post-mortem, nothing like that. The only thing that is left now is for the burial of this person. So at that time, don't delay the burial of the person. In the light of the Hadith Sharif, we learn that if the person is a pious person, then send him ahead, let him start enjoying the namats of Jannat in his grave. If he is a pious person and he is placed in grave, he will start enjoying the namats of Jannat. And if the person is a sinful one and azab of Allah Ta'ala is going to come upon him, so then put him off your shoulders, put him in his grave and make dua for him that, Ya Allah, forgive this person now. Remove his pain and suffering of the akhirat. We don't know who is pious and who is not pious. Allah Ta'ala only knows. We must have a good opinion about every Muslim that passes away. Every believer that passes away, we must have a good opinion. That we don't know which part of the night or day the person made sincere tawbah and Allah Ta'ala forgave his sins. With regards to what he was owing to people and all the rest of it, Allah Ta'ala only knows what he's going to do with him on the day of Qiyamah. But the fact is that we must have a good opinion. Nevertheless, so we should not delay these janazas. At present there's such amount of delay in janazas. 24 hours delay, much more than that. Why? Because somebody is coming from America, somebody is coming from Canada, somebody is coming from China. The son was gone on a business trip and he has just caught the flight there and he will be here in another 24 hours. Now the people are being caught up, they are waiting. Now the people who have come, the neighbors, the visitors, the people, family members from distant places, now they are in the same house. They must be given lunch, they must be given supper. The ladies of the house, they are the ones who are going to sit around that body and 24 hours they are going to be waiting. Look at the inconvenience and look at the beauty of Islam and Sharia. What is that person going to do when he's going to arrive from there? That son, what is he going to do? And in most cases, that son hasn't even spoken to the father sometime for months and years. In many, many cases, that son, that family member who we are waiting for, he was not even concerned when this person was struggling and battling, and when he was in difficulty and hardship, that person was not even interested. Now when he's informed of the mayyat, say, hold on, must wait for me, I'm on my way. He wants to make his appearance felt. So even if he was the one who was an obedient son or obedient daughter or whoever it was, or wasn't obedient, but let us go by that what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that let us hasten the burial. If all the formalities have been met, then we can comfortably bury the person in 3 to 4 hours time. If the grave is dug and there's no heavy rain and the person is not obstructed by outside unforeseen circumstances. Alhamdulillah, when my father passed away, in 3.5 hours time everything was over. Burial and everything completed in 3.5 hours time. My mother's time also, 3 hours, 4 hours, everything was over. So it's not difficult. Now all those who were phoning and says, wait and hold on, we're coming. I told them, make dua, read Yasin Sharif, send the sawab to her, send the sawab to him. You will get more reward, I will get most happy. Then that I wait for you to come from such distance and all you will do is just see the face and then finish. What are we going to do besides seeing the face? And then look at the preparation that has to go into it. Tents are put up, degs are brought, and there is like a party and feasting. One brother tells me, Molna, I never used to listen to you before, but when my mother passed away, he said, that's the time it really opened my eyes, because we had to feed the people, now the janaza was delayed. Now whilst eating, he said, in the dal, the person is looking for meat, and he's saying, where's the sinkers? He said, my mother's janaza, and he's looking for sinkers in the dal there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then says that if the girl, a suitable match is found, then we should not delay her nikah. Now this is the issue I was supposed to be discussing, but we started off and the time is just 5 minutes left. But the fact is that this is another area which has gone out of control. On the one hand, we have such extreme cases that 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, 12-year-old, and they're just making nikah. Why? Because they learnt one mas'ala that you require 2 witnesses to make nikah. Now is that nikah? Let us not make a joke out of it, but look at the schools and look at the colleges. Ask me, I will tell you, because I'm dealing with cases every day. Five students at a time have come to me and they have said that, Malana, make our nikah. Why? Because we don't want to be in haram, so therefore we want to make nikah. Now the person will say, alright, I will charge you so much and make your nikah. Books have been found in which the witnesses are non-Muslims and they are the witnesses to that nikah. Sometimes the people, they cheat us and lie to us also. I make it very clear that I don't make no secret nikahs. Anybody want to make nikah must come here. We write it on the board and must bring somebody from the boy's side, girl's side. They must be the one who will stand guarantee. Everything is above board. Then we make the nikah. But sometimes they speak lies and get away there too. So this is something that it doesn't mean that as soon as the girl turns 12, turns 11 and became baligha, then straight away another person says make the nikah. You have to look at the conditions. So the people say, then what? Now if they are involved, then what? So if a 12-year girl is involved with a 13-year-old boy, does it mean that nikah is the only solution to that problem? Parents must talk to the boy, talk to the girl, tell them break off this relationship. You are not in your right frame of mind. This is nothing but infatuation and love. You have to look at the broader issues. And at the same time, the other extreme is that the boy, a girl, 19, 20, 25, 35, but they say that no, mustn't get married until you finish getting all your degrees and qualifications. Now they're going on and on and on. In the meantime, there are abortions taking place and there's so much of haram relationship going on. So both sides are gone on to the extreme. So if a suitable match is found, then the person must make nikah. And if he does not do that, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned, إِذَا خَاطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوا إِلَّا تَفْعَلُهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيسٌ. Now there's no time to go into a discussion of that. And then the last thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions is that if a person is owing monies, he's got debts, then he must hasten in the payment of those debts. Now this is another area that we have become so negligent. It's a world of consumerism. Just buy, buy and buy. Advertisements upon advertisements. The person doesn't even have a cent in his pocket, but because you can pay over 20 years, so now the person is buying. And then he is owing the world money. He's owing the bank's money. He's owing his family money. And then the delay upon delay. And then the death comes. And the fights and arguments and quarrels that go. So if a person has got debts, then whatever he has got with him which is surplus, get rid of it, sell it. How many people have got luxury boats, they've got time of share apartments, they've got gold and silver coins with them, they've got many other assets which are surplus, they've got sometimes more properties than are required. The person is living in a comfortable home, but he's got many other homes too. But he says that all the market must just hold on, the market price is going to go up. So now holding on for the market price to go up, he's owing everybody money. And he's owing the banks money. He's taken on interest. He's paying interest. Can he ever receive rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala? I conclude in the dua which I always say, Ya Allah, how can we ever have rahmat and mercy? When the carpets of ours are on interest, when the curtains are on interest, the homes are on interest, our furniture is on interest, the food and purchases that we make of groceries is also on interest. Everything is on interest, and we raise our hands and we cry in Arafat and everywhere, Ya Allah, give us barakat and blessing and happiness and unity and prosperity. Will that ever come? So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if the person has got debts, then he must hasten, pay quickly, sell something but pay up. Then if it is beyond his control, house got burned, shop got burned, or bankruptcy came, he was not playing the bankruptcy game. Because sometimes there's a game that they play, bankruptcy game or liquidation game. So now he was not playing that. He was genuine bankruptcy, genuine liquidation. So then that person is excused because it was beyond his control. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding the nasihats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and implementing in our lives so that we may become the recipients of rahmat, mercy, blessing. Forgiveness. May Allah remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering and the problem of mankind around the globe and especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.